Can go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We'll read this story in just a minute. We, Amanda and I and Aiden, we have a neighbor, several actually, but one in particular who lives across the street from us. And I don't know, but it really seems to be that he and his wife are the best neighbors that you could have. We think a lot of them, simply because you can come home from a long weekend of maybe vacationing, and your yard will be mowed, right? That's kind of something nice. There'll be times when there'll be leaves in the fall that'll be stacked along the side of my house for a week or two, and then they'll just disappear. There'll be on the other side of the street, there was a limb that had fallen down in one of our spring storms, and it was in the neighbor. I guess behind where our neighbor lives, and that limb had been there, and they had mowed around it. The leaves had turned brown, so it had been there a while, and then he went and got it and hauled it off. He and his wife will keep their garage door open, and I think they spend more time sitting out front of their garage than they do maybe in their house, just love being outside. And always waves, always smiles, always welcoming for Aiden to come run over and he'll get out the chalk and all the toys. And then when Aiden has to suddenly leave and, you know, run back to our house, then and I'm chasing him, obviously. I'm worried about picking up stuff, and he's like, we got it. Just a very sweet couple. Type of people that, you know, you love to live across from, because there's ever something that's going on, they're always going to be there to help take care of you. That's the spirit at which I think the story that we're going to read about tonight comes from. But I need to tell you how we got to this story, because that's important too. At the very beginning of the summer, Drew and Kayla have arrived here in Springfield, and we don't yet know what the summer holds. We each have a bunch of ideas that are rolling around in our heads about what this summer for our youth will look like. And we want some motivating, inspirational theme to be guiding our direction and our thought through our hearts and through our minds for the summer. And so for that first two or three days, which sometimes stretches a little bit longer, there's a lot of time just thinking of ideas, thinking about the things that we want to accomplish and how that specifically needs to be said, what that's going to look like. And the idea of let's do something was a big one. Let's do something. We need to be people of action. We need to be a youth group of action. Let's do something. And that is an awesome idea. And so we started looking through Scripture and trying to determine where this motivation is going to come from and how this is going to take shape and what it's going to look like and what are those words going to be. And it's always really special when you're combing through to find what Jesus wants to tell you and you find it. And you find it exactly how he says it. And it's him who says it. And he says it in verse 37 of chapter 10 of Luke. He says, go and do likewise. This is it. We're going to go and we're going to do. But there's more to it than that. That couldn't just be our theme of freedom to go and do whatever we wanted. When I was a kid growing up in Wyoming and there was, you know, a 1,000-plus acre ranch that lied before our ranch house, and we would get up in the morning and we would want to go do something. And my dad and mom would just send us out. You want to go? Go. Just wherever, go. Get out of the house. Go do it. Whatever you want to build, whatever, you know, wherever you want to go, you want to go to the creek, you want to go. I mean, just go. It was this open permission just to go and be gone, to explore, to look around, to be a kid, to grow up. Well, that's not what this was to be about. It wasn't just to go and do. It wasn't just to go and be fun, just to go and have fun. It wasn't just to go and play. And this story unpacks so much more than that. So read with me, starting in verse 25 of chapter 10. This is that parable of the Good Samaritan, that which you have all have read and which you have all have studied, but let's look at it again tonight. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This isn't to go and play. This isn't to see the vast playground of Springfield and the Ozarks and then just free license for us to go and play. But it's for us to go and do. It's for us to go and find opportunities that of service, for us to go and be motivated, touched in our heart, to be moved out of compassion, to be moved out of pity, to be moved to be merciful, to help others, to serve others. That's what Jesus means by say, go and do likewise. It's over 15 miles from Jericho, from Jerusalem down to Jericho. There's over 3,000 feet in elevation change from Jerusalem down to Jericho. On this trail, there is numerous places for people to hide and surprise attack someone, to take their belongings, to rob them, to leave them for half dead. It's interesting that Jesus' story seems to reflect a commonplace, something that is even well known of this road, of those who would be traveling on this road, a priest returning from his service in the temple. One of the most spiritual, a man who knows of sacrifice, a man who knows just not the law well. That would be an understatement to say that of the priest. But he is traveling down, presumably returning from his service in the temple, helping people make right their sacrifices with God. A Levite. Now we know that difference between a priest and a Levite, that those Levites were from the tribe of Levi, and we know that the priest needed to be a Levite, and we know that not all Levites were priests, obviously. So this Levite is a more common man of the street. And for Jesus' story, it seems to provide this little bit of a stepping stone between this man of high position of the priest and to where he's going in his story of the heroine of the Samaritan. The Levite provides the general duties serving in Jerusalem or in the temple. Despite this, the expert in the law can easily identify with the Levite and probably looks up very much to the priest. But the Samaritan, we know much of how the Jews viewed the Samaritans. They thought very lowly of them. They thought of them as being half-bred Jews from the time when the kingdoms were divided. Those who were viewed to worship at Mount Gerizim, those Samaritans. And it is this man that Jesus chooses to be the heroine of this story, to find within Scripture bolded topic, bolded headline, the Good Samaritan. Do you know the story of the Good Samaritan? Do you know the parable of the Good Samaritan? And it is this man who is moved with compassion. It is this man who is moved out of pity. It is this man who has mercy and chooses to be moved to aid someone who is in desperate need of someone to care. So what keeps the priest from helping this man who fell in the hands of robbers? What keeps the priest from being loving, being kind, from fulfilling the greatest command, to love his neighbor as himself? Jesus doesn't seem to specify that this neighbor was someone, some foreigner. And that's who this priest would view as his neighbor. Anyone within the nation of Israel would be their neighbor, would be their brother within that common bond, would be their fellow Jewish person. But what keeps this priest from helping the man? It appears that he is returning to Jericho. We don't know that for certain, but it appears that way. It says that he is traveling down the road, going down the same way. It seemed like he has served his time in Jerusalem. Is he afraid that this man is dead and that he's going to then be unclean by handling a dead body? Is he motivated out of fear? Is it inconvenience? Was it the law? Maybe it was self-justification. And what about the Levite? What keeps him from helping the man? Was he fearful that it was a trap? That there were others waiting to maybe take advantage of him as well? Jesus doesn't specify. But he gives us a couple of clues. The first one was in verse 29, when Luke and the writer says, "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" We justify a lot of things that we do. We justify a lot of good things that we do. We justify a lot of poor things that we do. Choices and decisions that we make. Times to give, times not to give. Times to serve, times not to serve. Times to love, times not to love. We justify all of those things. We weigh it out in our mind of whether it's worth making a difference, whether it's worth our time, whether it's worth caring, whether it's worth all of those things. It's a matter of justification. And I think this is what Jesus makes a point about with the Samaritan, because it's not about justifying any of those things. Because the law, this important issue about this important question about the law was not about justifying. It's about loving. It's about loving God. It's about loving your neighbor. And understanding who your neighbor is not just these people in this room, this tribe. It's not about just the person who lives across the street from you or the house next to you or in the cul-de-sac, you know, down the street as your neighbor. But the people that you see in need. Jesus is trying to redefine what neighbor means, what neighbor is, and what love should be motivated by. Not what justifies us and how we meet the law, but pity, compassion, mercy. That those be those things that move us, that move us to go and do. Several weeks ago, I was in the church van, and I was making the turn on Campbell and Battlefield. And if you were drive by Campbell and Battlefield, you'll know that right there by Burger King there's often someone standing there with a sign, someone who needs help. And there's no one in front of me, so I get to pull up right next to this individual, right next to this person. And I can decide if I'm going to roll down my window, if I'm going to have a conversation, if I'm going to act like they're not there. I get to decide. I get to then later justify my actions about why I did what I did. What I do, what I do. And that doesn't just happen to me. That happens to all of us. Because we all drive around Springfield, and at one point or another, there's going to be someone outside your window. There's going to be someone in need. And you're going to decide, maybe beforehand, and maybe tonight will be that night where you decide to be a little bit more proactive. We can't always offer the jobs that they need. We can't always offer the house that they need. We certainly can't fix all of their problems with money. But what is it that we can do? Pity, compassion, mercy, these are what move us. This is what Jesus is asking us to go and do. We, as a congregation, are a congregation who go and do likewise. Each of you are involved in ministry, in ministries, from our elders to our deacons to the ministers to the staff here to the teachers. So many teachers and helpers and greeters in this congregation, some van drivers, card riders, hosts, volunteers for the curriculum, volunteers for so many things. So many special projects that we do from neighborhood day to helping with the backpacks, from our sewing ladies to those who volunteer at Thrift Haven and World Bible School. You are a congregation who lives this on your sleeve and on your heart, that you go and you do, that you go and do likewise, that you're motivated to make a difference in other people's lives. Wherever they are, whatever it is that they're doing. And some of you have invested in doing that here and in your families and in your neighborhoods. And I think that's what makes it so special to be a part of Sunset. I think that's what makes it so special when you sit at the beginning of the summer with a couple of extraordinary young people and you think about what are we going to focus on this summer, and Scripture reveals that we're going to go and do likewise. And you get to be so excited about being a part of that and getting to experience that with a group of young people who are willing to go and do when it makes them uncomfortable, when it's tough, when we don't know what words to say, when we don't know what prayers to pray. But they're willing. They're willing to do everything that seems random, but in some ways seems planned out. And so I want to leave you tonight with maybe a little forethought, a little planned out part of your life. Because as Paul wants to encourage that church and the Philippian church, who is a very loving church, who seems to understand and get how to be involved in their community and how to love others and how they're doing such a good job of that. But he tells them in verses 9 through 11 of chapter 1 that they should do that just a little bit more. And he says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more, that your love may grow more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Maybe it's a bottle of water. Maybe it's a bottle of water. Tonight, as you have been living in your life this, that you love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your strength and all of your mind, and you've been thinking about your neighbor. Maybe it's the one who's standing on the street corner. Maybe it's the one who lives down the street. And you've been thinking about how to be a light to them, how to be impactful to them, how to make a difference in their life. Jesus is commissioning you to go and do likewise. To go and serve, to be merciful. So on that day, if there was ever a question of whether you gave too much, of whether you volunteered too much, or whether you served too much, or whether you were just too generous, or whether you just had too much mercy. The Lord will respond with gratefulness to how much you gave of your time, of your resources, and how you prayed and you encouraged those that you were around, and that you were moved with compassion to be merciful to others and to love them, whether they needed it or whether they didn't. And maybe there's just someone who lives in your neighborhood who needs help with their yard. I'm not asking you to come mow mine. I've got a good neighbor across the street. God loves you. God loves the young people here at Sunset. And He's so grateful for them being here and for our interns that we have this summer. I'm so grateful for them. And we have had a lot of fun going and doing likewise and seeing how God is changing us and challenging us. And so I want to give this message to you. God wants to give this message to you so that you may go out and you may do likewise and you may be motivated to be merciful. If there is any need that you have tonight and you want to respond to Christ's invitation to be baptized into Christ, or if you just want the prayers of this congregation, tonight is a great night. There's water. There's a bottle of water in the back, too. So, if you need anything, please, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?